All right, welcome back to Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by killerfrogs.com. I'm Davis Wilson. With me, as always, is Nick Giramani. Nick, it's been a little bit. It's been a week and a half since our last one. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, nothing. There's been some stuff that's been going on off-season wise, but, you know, Big 12 basketball wise, like, there hasn't been much going on. So, you know, it's no one in the Elite Eight, no one in the Final Four. So, but no, I'm excited for how the offseason is going. I think some exciting stuff could come up. And, you know, we even got CJ Walker. So we're already starting getting going, and I'm excited to see where we'll take this thing.
Yeah, it's been, I've seen on Twitter, like, some TCU people are frustrated with the fact that there's not a lot of commitments or whatever yet, but obviously getting CJ Walker, and we'll get into kind of him as a player in a little bit, is big. But there's been some big stuff just in the college basketball world.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Last night, we're recording this on a Monday, but last night the John Calipari to Arkansas stuff officially kind of, which is going to probably set off this whole chain of coaching stuff, recruiting stuff. So that'll be interesting to see. But I guess we can just start with get into the TCU kind of stuff, because, yeah, why not? We had a lot of entries into the portal. We have one commitment from the portal. Take us through the state of the roster, I guess, right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you speak coaching wise, I think right away, like,
that's right.
Dixon extended through 2029-30, which is kind of like, you know, you see people have different responses to it, but it definitely shows, I think, in the first spot that he was probably seriously being considered by a lot of the job. Like, SC was open, you know, obviously Arkansas there for a bit, but like, so a lot of times when coaches get extended out of nowhere, they try to lock him up right when they're on the verge of maybe, you know, having serious interest from other schools. So I think that's big to lock up Dixon in that point, having him stay around and having that solid culture here, not having to change up too much stuff. And obviously Dixon's been, you know, the best basketball coach in TCU history and has built us to three straight tourneys, built us on the up and up, and has done such a good job. So I think just keeping him around is big, because we could have lost him several times in this carousel, and it's cool that he decided to come back.
Yeah, I think definitely a great move for TCU. We talked about it on the last pod, how important Jamie Dixon is to the program and what the program has become and all that stuff. I guess if we want to stay on the coaching thing real quick, there was a lot of in that Arkansas thing, there's a lot of Jerome Tang rumors.
Yeah,
he may go. It sounds like he turned down Arkansas to stay at Kansas State, which was pretty shocking to me. I really thought that Tang, I thought a long time ago that Muzz was going to go, and then that would mean Tang probably goes. But he's at Kansas State for now, which is somewhat of a surprise, but good for Kansas State, good for the Big 12.
Yeah, and there was a moment there where it almost seemed like certain. It was like, they're heavily pursuing Tang. Like, he's the first option. And if Tang took that job, like, Cal probably wouldn't have gone. And, you know, there's all these domino effects when it happens in the portal and stuff like that. And having Jamie extended, like, was it right either after that must spot got open?
It was right after.
Yeah, so just you don't know, like, if he was being pursued too. But obviously huge for K-State for him to stay around there, because we talked about so many times before with Naquan Tomlin. Ever since then, it was kind of like spotty in that situation. And but that's obviously massive for him to stick around. It seems like things got better up there, and Tang's already recruiting, as we've seen with some guys in the portal already.
Yeah, yeah. And then another, I guess, like, something to keep an eye on is the Kentucky opening now. I saw their, you know, Vegas odds for coaching stuff is always weird, but I did see that it was like Nate Oates and Scott Drew are the first two. So Baylor, Scott Drew, something to keep an eye on. If he goes to Kentucky, maybe Tang, you know, Tang to Baylor, who knows? There's a lot of stuff, like we mentioned, that could go down. So we'll keep an eye on that, obviously.
No, but for sure. There's a lot of, like, college coaches too. Yeah. Yeah. Oates and Drew are the top, but Drew's buyout is like 3.5 mil, I think, and Oates is 10 mil. And you know, if you're looking at from a cheaper standpoint, and obviously Drew's built a crazy amount of success, and he kind of has a good personality for that job. Like, I could easily see that, see him taking it. And yeah, as you said, like Tank coming back to Baylor would be kind of an, I don't want to say easy move, but it makes a lot of sense there for
Yeah,
sure. So
definitely.
it's very interesting to watch with the domino affecting coaching carousel, and I'm excited to see what it takes us into.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. All right. Well, now we can get into TCU if you want. The roster right now, I have it as like the guys on the roster, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here. The guys that are on the roster for next year for sure are, by my count, Ernest Udeh Jr., Isaiah Manning, Jace Posey, CJ Walker. Is that it? Or am I forgetting
Yeah, so
people?
I have a note. I got a notes app right here. So I got Uday, scholarship guys. Uday, Tyler Lundblad, which
That's
is
right.
he was technically on scholarship. Jace Posey, Isaiah Manning, who we'll have on the pod. Super exciting guest coming up. Esom, maybe. Esom still hasn't came out and decided if he wants to take his extra year. So I think that's one thing that we're waiting on to see if we have that extra bid coming back, because he would be a nice veteran presence there. And then Micah Robinson, Malik Diallo, Ashton Simmons, and David Punch. So the four freshmen there. And that's it. So that's what, eight scholarships if you have Esom, seven if out, and then you just added CJ Walker too. So that would be eight or nine. So you still have like a good four spots to work with safely that could be very interesting, because we've heavily looked at some people in the portals as of note, and we've been super active in the past, and we're gonna be again. But some other interesting stuff to note for. So just with talking with people around the program, like Jameer had a, so he's out of eligibility as of right now, but he had a year at George Washington where he played in seven games, and they had a waiver go through, and they're gonna appeal the decision for that. And I don't want to say it's likely by any means, but I think there is an interesting enough case in that sense where if there's still a chance Jameer came back, where I don't want to say 50-50, I don't want to say higher, like probably a little bit lower than that. But if they could snag Jameer off the waiver appeal, and not counting that year he played seven games, that would be so massive, because Jameer would obviously be your best guard on the roster and be that guy, because he was playing his best ball as of late. And I think since we've last recorded, like we didn't even, Jacoby hadn't even technically gone on the portal yet, but he's gone, and I think he will be gone for sure. But Micah Peave is an interesting one too, because I think he's a guy who I've talked to too, and there's a possibility, again, same thing as Jameer, where I don't think it's crazy likely, but there is a possibility where he's just kind of going on the portal, seeing what offers he gets, and you know, if he decides to come back, because the fit like that is an option, I'd say way more than a Jacoby. So if best case scenario, you know, you snag Esom, Jameer, and Micah, like those guys have possibilities of coming back, and then it makes the transport a lot less easier to work through. So I think these next couple of weeks that we'll see a lot better of what roster needs we have, and what exactly we want to go for coming through. But you know, I've seen Mike have interest with Kansas and some big time programs, so you don't know what, you know, NIL situation too, like that type of stuff. But it's an interesting thing to consider as we go through as to what guys that can return and what guys will.
Wow, I did not know any of that. That's pretty cool. That's interesting. That'll be something to
Yeah.
look for sure.
Again, like probably most likely Micah and Jameer won't come back, but just the possibility that they could is very interesting, because it makes the roster look a lot better than it would have if they didn't.
So yeah, I forgot about when I was going through the roster, the freshmen coming in, obviously. And then the redshirt freshman, Jace Posey, and Isaiah Manning, who I did mention, I did forget to mention at the top that he is coming on this podcast in a few minutes. So thanks for reminding me there. That's super interesting. So stick around for that. We're super pumped them on. Okay, so there's opportunities for some of these guys to return. We've seen that in this transfer portal era where you go into the portal, you look around, and sometimes, the best situation for you is just going back. So
Yeah.
it's
I mean, we
interesting
saw that
possibility
with,
for sure.
yeah. I mean, E-Man last year, he didn't test out the transfer portal, but he tested out the NBA drafts. And, you see guy like, I think Micah could do that a little bit too, because he does have the athleticism where you could see him being a pro player eventually. And just seeing like what interest he has there, what NIL stuff, because that's so big nowadays, is being able to compete with big NIL, donors and committees and stuff like that. So just seeing what that has to offer. But if he doesn't get like the look he wants, I think he has great ties here, obviously, and is at least semi interested in coming back. So that would be massive.
And then Jameer, I agree that he kind of started playing. It looked like he was super com a lot more comfortable, I guess, than he was kind of towards the end of the year. It looked like he was figuring things out. So getting him back would be interesting as well. So that's, yeah, it'll be cool to keep an eye on. But what we do know
Yeah.
is that CJ Walker committed to TCU from UCF.
Yeah.
What do you know about this guy? Because he started, or he played in a bunch of games this year for UCF. He's an experienced guy, like highly ranked recruit out of high school years ago. What do you know about this guy, and what is TCU getting, I guess, out of a
Yeah.
Walker?
So this guy's been playing since 2019, so he's had 5 years of college basketball experience under his belt. He has that extra year because 1 year he only played in four games. But I mean, he is an athletic freak. He's 6'8" forward, former five star out of 2019. And I just had a tweet like he was literally, ranked above all these, like ranked above LaMelo and Trayce Jackson-Davis, like all these massive guys. So he has crazy amount of talent. I would say he's not like he's more of a fierce defender and uses athleticism in that way than like an offensive player. Like, I don't think he's going to give you big numbers on that end. And he's definitely not a polished shooter or ball handler by any means. But I think he works his ass off and plays crazy good and can definitely play fast, which is a good fit for TCU because obviously we know them have crazy athleticism and to play fast. So TCU definitely does need more guys who can handle the ball and shooters. But when you have such an open roster, like we've talked about, like you kind of need everything, and getting a guy that fits your system and has crazy talent is definitely an addition. Because he started for UCF last year, and he was started on in the game that they came into Scioli and beat us. So he's had crazy experience, which is good because we're gonna have a super young roster, and I'm definitely excited about the move.
Cool. Yeah, and UCF. We've talked about UCF on this pod that their defense was extremely underrated, I think,
Yeah.
and one of the best in the country. I think that went really under the radar all year because they weren't winning a lot of games. But a guy that has played on a team that has excelled at defense, a guy that personally excels at defense, is definitely something that TCU needs because of the way they were just. They were not inconsistent. I mean, they were not consistent last year defensively.
Yeah.
Getting any guy, big athlete like that that can defend is huge.
Yeah.
So
And
yeah, that's pretty exciting.
I think people look at TCU last year too as struggling on offense more than they did defense, but it was actually the opposite. Like they had, because obviously you highlight like the games against the zone where they just couldn't execute, which was obviously bad. But I think overall throughout the season they were a much better offensive team than they were defensively, and defensive lapses were much more of a thing that they needed to address in offense. So yeah, it's a nice piece that fits the system, but you definitely need more for sure.
All right. So when you say we need more, what are we do you I know we've reached out, TCU's reached out to a lot of dudes. Doug McDaniel obviously is one of the guys that were TCU was in on early. He
Yeah.
was Tang in Kansas State. What are some other options that you have seen and that you feel are realistic for TCU?
Yeah. Speaking on Doug just a little bit, like that was a guy that I thought we had a serious chance on. I think a lot of people in the program did. Like the visit went well, and they were even talking to them, him and the Big 12 Chip. But you different factors come into play, which like who knows with NIL? Like I don't know any of that stuff. But yeah, that was an unfortunate thing that I wish we would have gotten that in that flip. But I mean, there's still a ton of other talented guards. I mean, so many people are in the portal this time of the year, and there's a couple of guys that I think they're looking at straight who have already visited here, like Dante Maddox out of Toledo is a guy that were in his top eight, I believe, and I think that he really had a good visit here, according to people, and you know, it's tough because you don't know what other packages he's being thrown out by other big time schools because he has some big schools on his roster too. And Frankie Collins is a guy who TCU knows well, played him in the tournament at Arizona State. He led that Arizona State team in scoring and would be a definitely good addition, a smaller guy here. But other names who haven't visited yet, because there has been a dead period for like the past week. So once it started out, like a guy like a Noah Reynolds or a Milos Uzan, other guards that we've seen, like I've heard Uzan a little bit out of OU could have some interest in. You know, guys like that, but I think it's definitely a thing where you want to see dominoes fall and guys are still hitting the portal and stuff like that. But you know, if Maddox comes and you know if Jameer's waiver gets cleared, then you have your back. Or if Jameer's waiver doesn't get cleared and Maddox goes somewhere else, then you probably go to your next option. Or if we get Frankie and Maddox, then you feel better and go to other positions. But it's definitely be a waiting game, but the dead period is over on April 11th, so tomorrow. So I guess when this podcast is out, so I think it'll definitely start to ramp up this week as to where people are going decision wise. And but I think guards are the first priority right now because we really have nobody as it stands. So being able to get some guys that can handle the ball is definitely, I think, number one of interest for the Frog out of the portal.
So yeah, like I mentioned earlier, there I've seen on Twitter there's some concern with the lack of action in the portal for TCU so far. And as someone who is plugged in a little bit, are you worried about the lack of commitments or visits or anything like that so far? Or
Yeah.
is this all going well?
I think we seem pretty confident with guys like I listed. But yeah, you don't know what other packages they're being thrown at because these are some high touted guys, like especially when you look at Maddox and Collins, like those guys are being looked at by some big time programs. So you don't know how well TCU competes with them. But yeah, I would say the dead period, because it went from last Thursday, yeah, so Thursday, April, whatever, to tomorrow. So this whole last weekend is a dead period with the whole college basketball where visits aren't really happening. And I think that just has, because it's just kind of halted everything naturally, like where no schools are, like even other schools, you aren't really seeing big time commitments at this time. But I believe, especially once we see the dominoes come in, we're going to be active going forward. And also, like with Jamie being settled in last week and during the dead period, that probably helped a lot more to know that you have your guy and for recruits and transfers to feel like they're committing to a coach that they know is going to stay here, which is, I think, is big to know what you're getting and where you're getting out of that. Like, because right when, because Doug committed to K-State like a day or two before the Tang rumors to Arkansas, so you didn't know like if dominoes were going to fall that way. Like you just don't know how things are going to turn out, but I think things are being solidified as it stands. So transfers and guys in the portal are going to know what exactly every program has going, and as rosters come together, I think you start to get a better idea. And I don't think the dead period or the lack of like commits right away are anything of crazy note, because you really haven't seen much in all of college basketball. So, yeah, I don't think it's anything to be worried about.
Have you heard anything about how the visit Dante Maddox's visit went? Because I know he visited
Yeah.
like a week ago today, I'm pretty sure. How did that go?
Yeah. No, I think it went great. Yeah, it's another thing where like I think they thought Doug's visit went great too. But like, yeah, I think it felt natural. He posted his jersey on Insta, so you know you don't want to read too much into social media things. But that's what he's been. That's the only thing he's really shown of his visits. And I think they met through with Frankie Collins on Zoom a little bit, so
Okay.
it wasn't as crazy, but I think he's pretty familiar with the program and has some guys that he knows around here. So I think they feel good about both of those, but it's just that, like I said before, it's that lack of knowing what other schools are giving, because you feel good about yourself, but obviously we know that TCU is not a crazy big basketball program and doesn't have the resources that I think other big time school has. So that's where it's you know, you it's not as likely that they land like the top guys, but there's crazy opportunity here. And you know, you can come in and be the guy on this team. And when you look at a Dante or a Frankie, like these guys, Arizona State and Toledo have been obviously worse than TCU, and that's just a kudos to what Dixon's built. And when you look at guys like a Mike Miles or and DB and D Ban and guys in the past, like guards have been crazy successful and have had the ability to put up big numbers and kind of showcase their skills freely, I would say. So it's an offense that you would, or at least I would want to play in as a guard wanting to play in the best conference in the nation. So we definitely have a good pitch in that way, and I think guys feel committed to our staff. So I'm pretty optimistic about what we're gonna bring, but yeah, I don't know. I don't want to like crystal ball anything or anything like that. Like you just don't know at this point.
And yeah, I agree with you. Like, as a guard in the in as a college guard, there's few places, I think, for sure in the conference, honestly, in the country, that I think, like, a guard who can score and wants to play fast would want to, you know, like, TCU is the best, one of the best fits there is for people like that. So I think that's, as you mentioned, a huge pitch for this recruiting stuff. And oh, I guess we'll see what happens. I am seeing on Twitter that Maddox is visiting Louisville this weekend when the period ends. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. But I'm excited
Yeah,
for
I
the.
think I think Louisville is the biggest competitor maybe with Maddox. I've seen a lot of Maddox Louisville rumors too. So that's a school to watch in that sense. And obviously Louisville's basketball resources are crazy over there. So it's gonna be interesting to see how things turn out for sure. Especially in these next coming weeks.
Definitely. Yeah, so I guess, excuse me. I guess when this dead period lifts, there's gonna be a lot more things. So I guess to TCU fans, to TCU Twitter, just settle down a little bit. It's very early. I mean, a lot of dudes probably haven't even gone into the portal. There are going to be guys that continue to enter the portal
Yeah.
for the next couple months probably. So I definitely
Yeah.
don't think there's any reason to panic. You know, Jamie's showed that he can recruit in the portal, and you know, it's an exciting time of year though, for sure.
Yeah, and I think coaches kind of wait on that too a little bit. Like
Yeah,
Umar
sure.
Ballo for Arizona hit the portal today, and he might be like the best guy in there, and it's obviously late at this point. So because you don't want to have a guy commit to you and then a better guy comes out who you could have gotten, and then you feel, I don't know, like missing out on that type of thing. So yeah, obviously the dead period is right after the Natty tomorrow, so everybody will kind of be better situated and see how that carousel turns out with the UK job. But yeah, you just kind of want to wait till you know where everything's going to be, and that's when the dominoes start falling for sure.
Yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be cool to look at. What do you think about the, this is off topic, but what are your predictions for the national championship game tonight? Do you have any
I don't know.
take?
I had Purdue in my bracket as the final one, so I'm riding with them. But it's kind of what it was in the women's game. Like it was, it's best player Caitlin Clark and then Zach Edey versus best team. And I, you know, gun in my head, I think UConn's gonna win. Obviously, they're pretty decent favorites. But so I guess I would say them, and because they're on such a roll, I mean, they're winning every game pretty handedly. And yeah, I'd go UConn, but I mean Purdue's probably the one team that can beat him at this point. Just feeding Edie and maybe getting Klingon in foul trouble a little bit there. But I'm stoked for it. That's gonna be like a couple hours after we're done recording this, so I'm excited.
Yeah, man, UConn is a wagon right now. It's unbelievable. They,
Yeah.
I saw, I think I saw something on Twitter yesterday that said they have covered the spread in every game over the last two tournaments, which is just
Yeah.
absurd.
It's crazy.
And I'm a fan of back-to-backs. Like, it doesn't happen much. I'm gonna root for UConn just because I think they're an awesome team, and it'll be cool to see them go back-to-back, I think, if it happens. But I think,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm hoping, obviously, without any Big 12 or TCU in there, I'm really just hoping for a fun game to finish out
Yeah,
the year.
exactly.
And then I guess the off season is in full swing at that point.
Yeah, it's funny how like the Cal news came out and it's like the biggest college basketball story, but there's like an awesome natty going on too. It's he kind of took over in that sense. But no, yeah, I like Danny Hurley too. And yeah, I mean if he wins by double digits again and like covers the spread, like you do that for two straight years with a really a completely new team, it's as impressive of a 2 year run, and especially in this generation as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be an awesome end to a fun year. And it's very Calipari like to reclaim the attention on the national championship. He couldn't help it, but
Yeah.
it was a fun year for sure, and it'll be a hopefully a great game to finish off a fun season. So
Yeah, I
for
do wish
that.
some Big 12 teams got
Yeah.
deeper in, so it'd give us a little something. But like, yeah, you never know. I don't want to be that guy. You never know if Jamal Shedd ever got hurt. You know what happens there. But yeah, that kind of sucked how that you went out, because Houston was obviously the strongest team throughout the year.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about real fast because we didn't mention the so Iowa State and Houston both lose in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And Shed, yeah, like Houston was my pick to win it all, so it was
Yeah.
brutal to see Shed go down. And when Shed went down, I mean, there's like Houston's a great team, but he is the guy for them, and it was sad to see, that's how it ended for them.
Yeah.
And then Iowa State just ran into a really good team. I don't know if that was an Iowa State problem more so than it was just Illinois being, I mean, they played really well. So it was a fun game. But yeah, I was rooting for both those teams to at least get into like the Elite Eight and have an opportunity to make a Final Four. Because I think the Big 12 deserves to have some representation in those last like eight or four teams. So I was rooting for them, but it'll be the two teams that are in now are probably the two best teams in America. So
Yeah,
it'll be,
I'll say
I think it
so.
worked out well.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, yeah, throughout the majority of the year, especially as Houston a little bit dwindled at the end of the year, like, you know, with the loss of the Big 12 chip. But yeah, Houston and, or UConn and Purdue showed throughout this tournament that they were kind of on a collision course through the whole thing and really were never like crazy threatened. So yeah, it's the natty that everyone wanted to see, I think, and I'm stoked for sure.
All right. Well, we've got a awesome guest coming up in a minute here,
Yeah.
Sam Manning. Obviously, he was on the team this year. He redshirted. He and Jace Posey both were redshirt for, are going to be redshirt freshmen. They were freshmen
Yeah.
last year. So, and he's seems like a funny guy. So we're
Yeah,
excited to
he's
talk to
taken
him.
over TCU X or Twitter or something. He's just like messing around with everybody. So I'm excited to record this coming up and see what he's about.
Yeah, he it's been bleak on TCU Twitter to say the least recently with some of the, I don't know, the
Yeah.
baseball for sure has been disappointing, and he's kind of like carrying TCU Twitter, making sure it doesn't sink completely. But
Yeah.
so I'm excited. We're excited to get to talk to him and get some insight on this year's team and what next year's team might look like, and just him as a his him as a person. I'm really excited to get to talk to him, and that'll be up in. We'll do that in a minute or two. And if you're done,
Yeah.
if you don't have anything else, I guess we can take a quick break and get to Isaiah.
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Cool.
All right, now on the Frog Fever Pod, we got a very special guest, Isaiah Manning. He's been going, you know, redshirt freshman, 6'8" dog. You know, he's gonna be a big part of the team in future years, and he's just been going crazy on Twitter recently with all his takes and stuff like that. So we just want to get to know him and see what he's got going on. But Isaiah, thanks for coming on. And the first question is, I kind of want to get into how you got into to basketball, because I heard you were playing baseball growing up and you didn't start playing AAU till high school. Like, what's the reason that you decided to commit to playing basketball, and when did you know like you were that good?
So we used to, my family used to live in Las Vegas, and we were in Vegas. Baseball was probably bigger than basketball, to be honest. And so just everybody there was kind of playing it, and that's what I was doing. But when we moved here to Texas in maybe, I think 2018, 2019, something like that, the adjustment to being here was really basketball, football, or bust, to be honest, for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And, me being a taller dude, I probably was about 6'4", 8th grade. So just kind of gravitated towards the court. And then when I realized that I was able to find some successes there and got some scholarship offers, I stuck with it.
Could you have played college baseball if you wanted? Were you pretty good?
I was pretty good at the time, but I didn't really get into like the really gritty, I guess higher level of it. But I think I definitely could have played. I probably wouldn't have been great. I definitely couldn't have played here, at TCU, but I think I could have played somewhere probably. I was a PO.
Oh yeah. So yeah, and you're from Mansfield, obviously, local guy to the DFW area. And I heard a story that you went to a TCU basketball camp your freshman year of high school, like the basic one, and then Desmond Bane came up to you and like recognized that you were working harder than others. Was that like one of the first kind of feelings you wanted to know you wanted to come to TCU?
That's interesting that you know that actually, because a lot of people don't know that. But I wouldn't say that was part of my decision, because at the time when I was at that camp, I didn't have any offers, so I didn't even think I was going to be able to play at TCU, let alone
That's
D1
crazy.
basketball at all. But I just liked the fact that he kind of saw guys that were working and was giving advice to them. And so when I came back around to making my decision later, I was seeing, well, they got guys that are motivating people, trying to get them in the gym and stuff. So that definitely was pretty cool.
Yeah, talk to us about your recruitment. Like, when did the offers start coming in? When did you realize that you were going to have a really good opportunity to play college basketball somewhere?
So, but end of my freshman year, I had one offer from UTA, smaller offer, and then a full year came around, and I got another small offer from Troy. So a lot of people thought I was going to be like a low major, maybe mid major kid, but then it was actually really kind of started with TCU. I went to a TABC live period, and Coach Benford, some of the other coaches got to watch me play, and then as soon as I got the TCU offer, that's when all the other kind of big schools came out. I think I got like Oklahoma State, A&M right after that. And then kind of that next summer around, I started to get like Alabama, Arizona State. And so at that point, I really realized for the most part, I could go to where I wanted to go to for school. And so it was just great that TCU was an opportunity for me, because this is truly where I wanted to end up, and I did end up here.
Oh yeah. And when you did come in, like obviously you redshirted last year. Did you know that you and Jace were going to be redshirting last year?
It was a bit of a
Like early
surprise.
on.
So at first we didn't know. We were just kind of trying to get a swing of things during the summer. And I think our adjustment period was amazing. The office I'm in right now is where all the GAs and stuff are at. And to be honest, when Jason and I first got here, there was a clear separation between like, here's all the 5th year, 6th year guys, and then here's those two. And then as we kind of started to do the workout plan with the staff here, we just closed in. And so I would say right around the time when the redshirt decision made at the start of the year, we were a little bit caught off guard, but we probably knew what it was. But by the end of the year, they were wondering, maybe we shouldn't have redshirted these guys because they got so much better.
Your final three, before you made your decision, I believe, was TCU, Kansas State, and Xavier. Was it, how close was it in the end, and what ultimately was it that led you to decide on TCU?
So it was really close. And right after I dropped that list was when I got an offer from Alabama, and they were really big in my recruitment for a little while as well. But I think what it came down to was pretty similar circumstances, great basketball conferences, solid programs that had a little bit of success, but just one of them's, 20 minutes from my house. So like I go home on the weekends if I need my hair done, my mom does my hair, and just kind of the ability to be that close to my people was something that really matters for me.
Going back to redshirting, like, did you enjoy the redshirting process, and what was that like on a day-to-day basis?
I would say it's a love-hate relationship. As a basketball player, you want to be on a court, But it just allowed me, it allowed me to, one, kind of soak in from all the guys that we had with the crazy old team that we had. And then two, just kind of put my head down, not worry about fans, you know, people betting on the games and texting you and stuff. Like, I didn't have to worry about any of that. I just was able to put my nose in the dirt and kind of focus on being the best basketball player that I could. So for that part of it, I say I'm very appreciative, because I think I've made a tremendous jump in my game.
Yeah, you talk about how you don't really get to play in the games as a redshirt. And a lot of guys, like, nowadays will, if they get redshirted and they don't play, they'll just transfer. What was your, you know, why did you decide to stay at TCU, you know, next year? And was that ever a conversation with you? Did you ever consider entering the portal?
No, I mean, I know I joked around with it, on Twitter. So yeah. I saw that. But, I don't know. That's just not really who I am. I was at the same high school for 4 years, and I plan on being at this same university for however long my college career is. And I think the problem is that because the transfer portal has opened up, it feels like people are finding reasons to leave and instead of finding reasons to stay. And if I look at my reasons to stay, you know, I was behind E-Man, Miller, Jacoby Coles, Chuck O'Bannon. You know, they're gone. So it's time for somebody to step up. And I just see a bunch of reasons why I want to be here. The staff's good. So I never really thought about leaving, especially since, you know, all my people are really close by.
Yeah. Hopefully those parking tickets don't get too crazy.
Thanks.
But, yeah, going back to, like, you joking around on Twitter, April Fools, you dropped that. What was that reaction like when you said you were going to hit the portal, and how did, like, what was the thought process behind that?
I mean, I just like joking around. I think the good news is that now that the redshirt year over, people are going to kind of get to know Jace and I, and really just a lot of guys more. And we got personality on the team for sure.
Yeah.
But just I thought it was funny. I guess a lot of people didn't. Coach Benford came up to me. Coach Benford saw me in the gym. He was kind of mad. He was like, "Hey, what is this?" I tried to tell him it was a joke. And then people were like, "You know, I guess there was a bunch of rumors of Coach Dixon actually leaving."
Yeah.
And so then everybody was like, "Oh my God, Dixon's about to actually leave." And I was like, "Nah, bro, it's just a joke."
Were coaches actually hitting you up when you dropped that?
A little bit, yeah. That's why I had to stop it. Because I guess most of the bigger schools, like, see the actual portal and know who enters and who doesn't. But some of the smaller schools are just, like, trying to jump on it, I guess. And they just hit me up out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then you drop, like, "I'm about to turn up next year." And then everyone is fired up again. So that was cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we've seen you compare yourself to Paul George as a basketball player, right? How would you describe your game for TCU fans who may not have gotten the chance to watch you in high school?
Okay, so I'll say, instead of a player comp, I'll just kind of say what I think the main things I'm doing as a basketball player are.
Yep.
So I would say, just to expect for me, rebounding as a first thing. I think that's what I kind of hold my hat on, is rebounding and making open shots. So as a more 3-and-D wing, I'm at the guard 1 through 4, really even 1 through 5, rebound positionally and knock down open 3. So I'd say those are my main focuses. I do drive, obviously, and there's other facets of the game that are worked in, but I think those centerpieces of defending, rebounding, and making open shots are what I really hang my hat on.
Oh yeah. So I've seen in the past you've had some, like, Michael Jordan hate out of nowhere. Like, you've said Michael Jordan's worse than Scottie all time. And then I just thought you say KD right now is better than MJ has ever been. So why do you hate MJ so much?
So I think this is a misconception, a common misconception. I do not have any problems with Michael Jordan. I appreciate a lot of those legends that go down as, like hard work guys. Like, you know, he's really known more for just, like, hard working. But what it comes down to is just basketball, like, everything evolves. Players are evolving, and everybody's just way better than him now. Current day, Kevin Durant is killing Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen was one of the first versatile wings, you know, 6'8", point forward guy, throwing dimes. He really had everything. MJ, not better than LeBron. I don't know where people get this from. And I'm really adamant about this topic. I'm really motivated about this, because I just truly don't see any way in which you can watch those two guys play and be like, this guy is better than this one.
So LeBron is your GOAT?
LeBron is my GOAT, yes.
He's a sunshine.
What about right now? What about, is Paul George better than MJ all time in your opinion?
No, I wouldn't say so. And I do like PG game, but just I mean, MJ still averaged 30. Like, I don't know why people think I hate him. I don't hate him. He wasn't a bum.
Yeah.
He's just not KD, you know?
He's not Scotty either. He's not Scotty.
You're not Scotty either. No, you're not Scotty.
Yeah, so you've been showing a little support to Caitlin Clark recently too. Is she your woman basketball goat?
I don't do college goats, and because she hasn't really played in the league at all, I can't name her the goat of the whole sport.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
for college, it's hard to say she's not, but it's also easy to say that she isn't in a sense. Because if you look at strictly individual, she going crazy. But I don't think, does she not have any championships?
No, she
I don't
don't
think
have
she
none.
does. So it's like a 50-50 thing. I personally think it's just who's the better player. So I would say she's the best. But I know a lot of people, you know, the Jordan people gonna come after the zero rings. So
today, this is off the topic of basketball, but today obviously there was the big eclipse, whatever. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. Is the eclipse overrated? Did you enjoy it? Did you get a chance to see it? What are your thoughts on this thing?
I love like random things that kind of force humans to deindustrialize a little bit. And so I guess just like observing nature and not really leaning into technology. I love that it brought so many people together to do that. So I think it was great. It was a little bit weird with the clouds and stuff. But I love the fact that there were so many people in the commons kind of centralized and all doing the same things. So I thought it was fun.
Yeah. So your Insta bio is Bell to Ass all 2024. So where'd that come from? Like, are you a Pat Bev guy or where's that coming from?
I'm just a trash talker in general. I like Pat Bev. I like anybody to talk crazy and kind of back it up. And so that's just what I pride myself on being. If you were to talk to any of the guys on the team this year, you know, they would say like, Jason and I redshirted, but in practice, you would think we're the best player on the team with what we're saying to people. And so that was just like my statement to everybody that just like, what happens in the dark, it stays in the dark, and y'all gonna see that work. But then once it comes to the light, y'all gonna hear it too, though. That's really all it was.
Is TCU gonna run with Bell to Ass next year?
I hope Logan? So, bro.
I like
I hope
that.
So, but
I want
but the
that
problem
too.
We're too conservative here, and everybody want to be too nice. But I need them to just say bump all that. This is what we about to do right here.
I like that. I like that.
Also on Twitter, you said you might start a burner. What would your burner be like? And is that coming along? How's that going?
So I'm not going to weigh in on the second question of how's it coming along. If it is, if it's not, you have to talk to someone else. But I just think that's funny. I like Twitter and social media. And then like, you know, you guys be on there a little bit, but like the real like straight burners, they're
just
hilarious.
They're crazy.
They're funny.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite TCU burner?
Oh, no. I did. I did have one. there's a dude named Parker. That's cool.
Yeah. Parker Gulp. Shout out.
Dom is cool. Dang, I'm gonna forget somebody, but I don't want to forget anybody. Really, all of them though, they all cool.
Yeah, no, we got a good thing going on over there.
I agree. You guys have burners? Do y'all have burners?
I used to have a burner.
Okay.
I used to have a TCU burner actually, where I would just talk mess to other fans.
I'm gonna have to start one if you're in on it though.
I mean,
get in the game a little
bit. I haven't
yeah,
said
that's
that
true.
I
that's
am,
true.
Or that I'm not, but you know, maybe we'll see.
That's true. That's true.
It's
right,
fun.
Yeah.
It's unhinged.
Speaking of that too, like you're a journalism major, another Mouty boy. Shout out. How do you want to use that degree going forward? Like, you know, you're in the obviously media game a little bit, but is that kind of what you want to end up doing a little bit along with basketball?
Definitely. I think just being a personality, and I think also being a scholarly personality, I guess, it allows me to kind of have a smooth transition into the journalistic field. So I like writing, I like podcasting, I like all that stuff. And so to be honest, I kind of want to see how you guys were formatting this. But ideally, I want to do something like this, you know, maybe more in person, but obviously that makes it a lot harder to bring guys in. Mm-hmm. But I was hoping to do something kind of like this when I'm done with basketball.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, you'd obviously be great on it.
Yeah, we've got a spot for you as a co-host. If you ever want to come back, we got you.
I'm I'm not a fake, like, big time type dude. I'm dead serious. Really hit me whenever, and I'm back, bro.
I love that. I love
Love to
that.
hear that. We'll definitely have you back. Tell us a little about Jace Posey. We haven't gotten to talk to him, or I haven't gotten to talk to him. I don't know if Nick has, but tell us about Jace. How's your relationship with him? You guys being the two freshmen coming in last year, what's that been like?
Jace is a cool dude, bro. I like hard workers. He works hard, and I think us literally living alongside each other has just only helped throughout this year. We literally wake up, our rooms are like, this is my room, this is his room, and this is our bathroom that we share. So, yeah. You know, we end up waking up, I got to brush my teeth while he used the bathroom, he got to use the bathroom, I brush my teeth, and our lives are so worked into one another, just schedule-wise and everything, that I just feel like we click easily on the basketball court. But he a cool dude, though. Y'all got to get him on here for sure. I did a thing with him with Frogs today, and it was hilarious.
Okay.
So we got to
do something like that. Didn't you guys do, like, players thing or something at the restaurant?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I think I checked that out a little bit. But overall goals for next year, like, both basketball-wise and you as a person, like what do you want to accomplish next year?
I'll start with as a person. I just had my meeting with my class schedule for next year, and I'm pretty sure I can either knock out all of my prereqs. I don't know. I can have some major chunk of my academics done. So I want to make sure I do that and don't drop any classes. And then basketball-wise, my main goal is kind of to change the tenor, I guess the tone and tenor of what the program has been. And I just want everybody, like maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, people were playing TCU and they're like, man, their defense is crazy. They playing hard. I want everybody who plays us to be like, these dudes wanted to win as bad as they could. And I want that to be the main thing we hang our hats on. We're going to have talented players that are going to be able to score and rebound and defend and all that. But if everybody says we want as much as we can, I think we can go do whatever we want next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking a little bit about defense too, like, we just got the transfer from UCF, CJ Walker. Have you got a chance to see what he's got going on yet? And because he's kind of that defensive foreman too a little bit.
I mean, we saw it firsthand. He had a bunch of rebounds against us, and obviously was a big part in their winning of that game. So I'm an advocate for bringing in any guys that play hard. I know I said on Twitter that we was going to get somebody. Hopefully, you know, we get a couple more guys that we've been talking to that I've been on dinners with. But, nah, CJ seemed cool, and he just play hard, and we just need that. Play hard, tough dudes. He a tough dude.
Mm-hmm. Nick and I earlier were talking about Jamie Dixon's extension that he signed. As a player who's playing for him, how cool is that to see, just assuring you that he'll be there? And what, I guess overall, what have your thoughts been on Coach Dixon since you've gotten to TCU?
To reassure me, I mean, it was good. I honestly thought he was staying the whole time. I didn't even know about any of this stuff, like I said earlier. But it's good to know he's going to be back because I want to play for him. And yeah, I mean, I want to play for him. You know, a lot of people had things to say about Coach Dixon, like, you know, about maybe some of the schemes and stuff that he runs. But I personally just feel like he puts his players in a position to play the best they can at the best things they do. And so I'm glad that he's staying because, you know, he's seen my growth as a player and he understands what I can do best. And so I have no doubt that he's going to put me in the best position to do what I can as well.
Yeah, we got we got four incoming freshmen next year, and one of them we had on the pod, Micah Robinson. He played for Southern Assault, and I think you did too, if I'm not mistaken. Have you got a chance to talk to either Micah or any of the freshmen coming in and get a chance to see what their games are like?
Yeah, so Micah played up. So he played on my team.
Oh, really?
And yeah, Micah's my dude. And Micah, I love Micah's game. I hope that he comes in and has the ability to make an impact off rip because he's a really good player. I'm familiar with David Punch a little bit because he's kind of from near the area. Same thing with him. And then the other two guys, I saw them on their visits. I'm just excited. We're going to have a younger team than we have in many years. We're going to have basically six freshman guys.
Yeah.
And so I hope, I know that Micah will for sure because I've been around him. And I hope for the other three guys that they're as invested in learning as people have been in this program. Because the guys who have come in here and said, I just want to learn, have really done great things.
Mm-hmm. Micah, we had Micah on. He's a friend of the pod. We had him on like 2 months ago, I guess. But were you a part of his recruitment at all? Did you help out with that since you play with him?
I would say yes. I was his host for his
there
official
you go.
season. I've been a bunch of people's hosts actually. And I would say I was a part of it. I mean, obviously playing on the same AAU team would have helped. And so it was just like, you know, we gotta do it again. Not to really kind of put anything in the air, but one of our other teammates has entered the portal from that AAU team that was pretty good. So, you know, you might see some, you might not. Don't go looking on Twitter to see who it was and then blow
I
up
won't.
Because of me, but we just might see something.
Okay.
Hey, I don't know if you got a burner. I don't know if I'm gonna look around at that, but we'll see where it goes.
Okay.
But goals for the team next year, like you mentioned, ton of new people. Like, and TC's obviously made the tourney the last 3 years, first time ever. Like, what do you want to accomplish next year as a team?
To give you the tangible answer that you're looking for, I want to do something we haven't done in the tournament. I would like to go to the Sweet 16. And I think even to kind of not jump ahead, I want to continue the tradition that we've had of not losing a whole lot of pre-conference games, but I want to do better in conference. We've been, I think it was 9-9 or something like that, like the past 3 years. And, you know, being there this year, we could have at least won, I would say, 13 conference games that were decided by like this much. So I want to win double-digit conference games for sure. And I want to go to the Sweet 16 just because I think the university as a whole needs the basketball to continue to climb. And we had a bit of a stagnant year this year where we didn't keep climbing. And so our trend has got to be up, and we stop a little bit and then we keep going up. So I want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. As we get, so the NBA playoffs are starting pretty soon here. Do you have a pick to win the title this year? What are your thoughts on that?
I want to go to the Clippers. I like PG, I like Kawhi. I'm not really like the whole team, but they got PG, Kawhi, Westbrook, Harden. Like in 2017, that team would have been crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody a vet now. I gotta go with them. But it's really hard to be like the Nuggets gonna lose because their team is really just crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
talk to me about, so it's gonna be the Clippers and the Mavs, I think, in round one. Mm-hmm. How do the Clippers get past the Mavs? How does that work?
So similarly to like Caitlin Clark, I saw somebody on Twitter say that Caitlin Clark and Luka were similar, and I kind of like that.
Yeah,
but I mean, with them type of players, you have to account for the fact that they're kind of going to go off. But I think they just got to minimize other people. They got a lot of defenders, you know, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi, Paul George, those guys all hang their hats on defense. So somebody got to guard Luka and be okay with him making some tough shots. Somebody got to guard Kyrie, be okay with him making some tough shots. And everybody else can't get anything. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be good.
Yeah, like if you have PG on the team, you always got a shot, huh?
You're going to be good, right? You're going to get some step back.
Yeah.
You just hit a game winner, right? Did you just hit a game winner?
I don't know.
Yeah, they had a huge comeback yesterday, I think. Yeah.
He had like 20 in the fourth quarter, 25-point comeback.
He went crazy.
Step back to the right.
That's what we're going to see out of Isaiah Manning next year.
I like the move, so, you know, hopefully, man.
Well, Isaiah, this has been awesome. I don't know if we got anything else, but, you have a welcome anytime you want back in. We love what you're doing both on Twitter and pumped to see what you got going game-wise next year. So this has been awesome. I want to thank you for coming on again.
Definitely appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man. Please come back. We'd love to have you back as a co-host, maybe sometime next season if you want.
What I'll do is I'm gonna try to bring a guy. Is that cool with y'all? If I bring a guy?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm
anything
just,
you
I'm
want.
Bring a,
please
we'll
do.
We'll bring somebody, so we'll figure it out.
Please
do.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Well, all right, man. Well, thank you
my
so
man.
Much. Yeah.
This has been great.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
See ya. Bye.
See you, Zay. All right, that was awesome. A big thanks to Isaiah Manning for coming on the pod. Seems like he's got a real future in the industry, and hopefully Nick and I can have him back on here maybe next season. We'll see. But again, thanks to him. Thanks for all of you for listening to another episode of Frog Fever. The season's over. Officially after tonight, again, we're recording this on a Monday. It's about 2 hours until the tip off between UConn and Purdue. And after that, the season is over and the off season begins, which is a really exciting portion of the year nowadays with the transfer portal and recruiting and all the stuff that's about to happen with the coaching carousel. There's going to be a lot that happens. There's going to be a lot that TCU is going to be involved in, and we will continue to provide information and conversation here on Frog Fever. So please keep coming back. We've had a great time all season, and we appreciate each and every one of you guys who tunes in and listens. But that's it for this week. I think we'll be back next week to just keep doing what we're doing. Again, the off season is among us, and that is going to be, there's going to be a lot of storylines that come out of that. So keep coming back, and we will keep on doing this. But thanks again from myself, Davis Wilson, and my co-host, Nick Germani. We will see you next week.